This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Are you caring for an aging parent? Are you searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources, helping you become the best caregiver you can be. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, President of Senior Care Consulting. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You are appreciated. Senior Care Live is the nation's premier radio program, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. This is a safe place to get accurate and reliable information you can absolutely count on. Each and every week, we discuss important issues such as how to remain independent in your own home, how to find the right senior care community, how to pay for the high cost of senior care, and legal issues involving elder law and estate planning. We also discuss senior-related health issues and how to care for the caregiver. As always, if you have a question, you can reach us on our toll-free number anytime. That's 1-800-331-6445. 1-800-331-6445. You can also visit online. It's a great website, Senior Care Live, L-I-V-E, seniorcarelive.com. All right, so we're going to have an excellent program today, a really important program today, and I would like to invite my special guest today, Mr. David Wiley. He's the president and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And David, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here today.
All right. And thanks for being here. And for our listeners, if you'd like to reach out to Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, if you have any questions at all about services, let me give you the phone number here, 816-363-2600, 816-363-2600, or online at kchospice.org. All right. So, David, 2020 has been a wild year. It doesn't seem to be showing any signs of calming down anytime soon. The COVID-19 pandemic is still a major, major issue. The economic shutdown and downturn continues. Mm-hmm. Unemployment is raising. Now we have racial tensions that are just very, very high, and who knows what else might be around the corner. So how are you in Kansas City Hospice doing in the midst of all that is happening right now?
You know, just like everyone else, Steve, you know, we're taking it day by day and doing our best to cope with things as change comes along. And, you know, as you know, Kansas City Hospice is celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. So I don't think any organization that makes it four decades without learning some things about resiliency. So overall, we're doing as well as we can be during a difficult time. And I'll tell you that I'm proud of the team for their commitment to ensure the quality of patient care and support for families continue. That continues to be the forefront. We still have our COVID-19 task force that's meeting regularly. We've been meeting for many months now, making some tough decisions. But the most important thing, supporting our caregivers and our staff so we can take care of people. Our donors and our community supporters and volunteers, they remain as faithful as ever. And they've really surrounded us and our families we serve with love and care and in a lot of unique ways. And it's been fun to see some of those different ways that they've offered support to families. And just a few examples, you know, some of our donors have decided to turn their stimulus checks over to us as a way to support the community. So I think that's pretty cool. We've had some people who've given us some appreciated stock, and volunteers and businesses have offered, you know, messages of hope, and they've written on our sidewalks at our facilities and, you know, kind of cheering on our nurses and our staff, which I think is great, and dropping off treats and supplies, including PPE, which has been great. And we actually had 15 Facebook portals, electronic device that was donated from the COVID Connect, which is was recently talked about on the Ellen Show. So those have been some pretty cool things. But most of all, I'm really thankful for the families that we serve. You know, they're facing end-of-life challenges. It's very different right now in this moment, and they're doing it with grace and love, and we're grateful for the opportunity to stand beside them and help them in this journey at this time.
Well, absolutely. And that's what a tremendous amount of support. That is fantastic. And, you know, I'm certain that they're also grateful to have you beside them, not only through the end-of-life journey, but at the end-of-life journey in the midst of a pandemic. So what are you hearing from families?
You know, this is a time when healthcare leaders were providing providing important care. We're also making some incredibly difficult decisions, always keeping the safety of our patients and families, as well as our team of caregivers in mind, of course. You know, we're in a time in our country that protecting the physical health of our loved ones needs to be balanced with their emotional health. And there really are no easy answers. So difficult decisions are made every day which none of us want to make, but which are required for the safety and healthy of our entire community. So the unfortunate thing is that families facing the end of life don't have the luxury of time. So when time together is lost, they won't be able to make that up. And this is a tremendous burden on these families, and I really do feel for each and every one of them. This is why, again, I just reiterate the importance of following public health guidelines such as physical distancing, face coverings, washing your hands, staying home when possible. And if you do go out, you know, do it responsibly. This is how we can really care for our community right now. Mm-hmm. But having said all that, as CEO, one of my favorite parts of the job is that, you know, so many people reach out to me and they share with me about their experience, and they offer their thanks for our team of caregivers who've helped them at this important time in their journey. And it really amazes me that people take the time right now to send cards of thanks or call, or they write a letter to share their experience really in the midst of all this that's happening around us. So that certainly brightens my day. It brightens the team's day. It keeps our focus on exactly why we're doing what we're doing. And I just think that people are incredible. And I think we're really blessed to be part of a loving community like Kansas City.
Indeed, it is absolutely a blessing to be part of the Kansas City community. I don't think anyone would argue with how special Kansas City is. I used to think that Kansas City was maybe one of the best kept secrets. I'm pretty sure the secret's out by now. But, you know, like the rest of the country, we're also experiencing challenging times right now, not only because of the pandemic and the economic crisis, but in the Black community. And the model of hospice is inclusive. Now, what that means is it is individualized to each person, their beliefs, their traditions, and their needs. So what is your perspective on the protests happening right now?
You know, Steve, from a personal perspective, I'm a white male, and I think it's important to acknowledge that, you know, my experience is very different than what I know is the experience of many others. And I think the number one thing that I can do to support the Black community is to take the time to really listen and listen to the message by that's being sent and to listen and work to understand the perspective. All of us need the opportunity to be heard and validated. And too often that's not happening for, you know, people of color broadly. And it's not happening in the same way that white Americans really can take that for granted. So, you know, many could argue that legal and policy reform are critical, but honestly, at the end of the day, we overcome oppression at the human to human level. And, you know, in the recent week and days, you know, I've been examining my own beliefs and actions to determine how I can support others in our community. And personally, this means educating myself about the issues facing the Black community and examining how I might be adding to those issues and how I can contribute to positive solutions. So it isn't up to me to solve it, but it is up to me to be part of the solution in a way that's meaningful and to those who are calling out to tell us what they need. And you know, I can tell you, I'm certainly not an expert in race relations, and I can tell you right now, I don't have the answer to how to solve this ongoing crisis, but I can consider some small actions that I can do right now. And if everyone takes a moment to do that, I think we can imagine or how much further we could actually go as a community and as a country if we just did that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't pretend to have the answers. That is, it's just such a large and frankly, a systemic issue. I can't imagine. But I think the message is so loud right now. And I think that's a good thing, even though as traumatic as all of this is, I think it's a good thing. I think it will produce change and reform and improvement. And I think the message is loud and clear. And I just hope that at some point, you know, very soon that we can move forward together. Like you said, this is a human to human thing. This has, this is a person to person thing. Later on in the program, I'm going to share, you know, a few of my thoughts and ideas on how, you know, we might be able to take some steps toward that. But I think it just comes down to each individual. I don't think you can mandate change. I think some changes in laws and reforms and oversight and accountability, I think all those things help. But at the end of the day, this comes down to the person that you are and improving that. And I think that's the beginning of where it could all change.
I agree. And I think there have been glimpses of some positive moments. So hopefully we can continue those along.
Excellent. All right. So, David, let's continue this discussion after the break. But first, the Senior Care Live question of the week. This is more of a statement, and it's a true false. Hospice care is available and helpful for individuals of any race, ethnicity, or religion. Is that statement true or false? We'll have the answer right after the break.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about the services offered on this program and how we can help you and your family, call us on our toll-free number anytime. It's 1-800-331-6445. 1-800-331-6445. 888-331-6445. And don't forget, you can stream this program to any electronic device. Super easy. Go to seniorcarelive.com. Click on the microphone right there on the homepage or the listen live button. Give it a few seconds to connect, and then boom, you are in. It'll start streaming to your phone, your tablet, your computer, whatever you have. It really is that simple. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Hospice care is available and helpful for individuals of any race, ethnicity, or religion. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is true. It is true. The hospice philosophy honors each person's faith, family traditions, and cultural values in a way that is absolutely unique to that individual. And I just love that about the hospice approach and the hospice philosophy. That's just perfect. All right. So, David, before the break, you shared with us your personal perspective about what you can personally do to be an ally for people of color and more specifically for Black members in our community. So tell me what this means for you as a leader in the community and for Kansas City Hospice.
You know, first and foremost, Steve, I'm very fortunate to lead a large organization which puts me in a unique position to make some change. And I think too often we look around at others and have a lot to say about what they can do differently, but it really can be difficult and uncomfortable to look within. So it's important for me to lead the effort within our own organization. And one thing that's been happening at Kansas City Hospice is we've been having some in-depth conversations about how to show respect to the Black community and honor their unique needs, not only in their care, but how we communicate. And one important way we can show respect is through the language that we use. So in hospice, we often say all hospice is palliative care, but not all palliative care is hospice, meaning that hospice always means providing palliative comfort and symptom management, but the provision of comfort and symptom management, it's not necessarily always hospice. Okay. So in this same way, you know, I learned just recently that when referring to Black Americans, all African Americans are Black Americans, but not all Black Americans are African American, meaning that Black Americans are not always descendants of Africa. You know, so this can be a very meaningful distinction for people who don't necessarily see themselves as African American because they aren't descended from Africa. And so they may question whether a certain movement is a movement that they fit within. So as an organization, we seek to be inclusive in our language. And while there isn't any or always consistency in the language that we use, I think the process of considering how powerful language can be is an important exercise as we consider how to respect the unique history of the Black community and how we have arrived at this point in time and how we can move forward together.
All right. All right. And are Black Americans just as likely to seek hospice care as white Americans?
You know, that's a great question, Steve, and I appreciate you asking that. You know, it's important to understand that the Black community brings unique perspective to the table when it comes to healthcare. And in general, you know, few healthcare providers have done a good job of addressing the challenges they face, including hospice care providers. So research has found that only 8% of Black Americans have completed an advanced directive, which is stating their wishes for the end of life, compared to 43% of white Americans. And of individuals on Medicare who enrolled in hospice at the time of death, in 2018, more than 50% of white Americans were enrolled, while less than 40% of Black Americans were enrolled. So a gap which has been consistent actually for many years, despite the very clear benefit that hospice can offer for those suffering from a life-limiting illness. And so the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization notes that only 8% of hospice patients are Black, though they make up about 12% of the American population, while 80% of hospice patients are white. So at Kansas City Hospice, around 12% of our patients are Black, but we know that we absolutely still have a lot of work to do.
Okay, and what do you think are some of the barriers accounting for the large gap in hospice care between Black patients and white patients?
You know, this has been studied pretty extensively, Steve, and there are a lot of variables to consider, but some of the most well-documented explanations relate to the lack of trust in the healthcare system in whole, which often relates to, well, general mistrust, ineffective communication, and or cultural insensitivity by healthcare providers, lack of information, limited access to healthcare, and cultural, family, or religious imperatives to trust in God's capacity to heal and or fight until the end by seeking aggressive care. So research into barriers to Black Americans using hospice care often mention the Tuskegee study in which Black men were allowed to die of an otherwise curable disease in the interest of medical research, even though a Black patient might not have been personally or directly affected by this injustice. Its memory can cause suspicion, it can cause fear, anger, and distrust, and in this case, of medical professionals. So this is sometimes referred to as historical trauma, in which a particular group is imprinted by awareness of traumatizing historical events to which their ancestors were exposed. So we see these effects and factors in all aspects of healthcare, not just in hospice, but general distrust and the lack of access to healthcare systems may even be playing a role right now in the greater toll that COVID-19 is taking on our Black community members.
Okay, so I'm learning a lot today. I really appreciate you sharing all of this information. And I want to learn, and I want to know, and I want to get better, and I want to be more supportive. So this is just great information, even though it's very, very sensitive. I think it's excellent information. How is Kansas City Hospice working to overcome these barriers to better serve people of all races and all backgrounds?
You know, Steve, I agree with you. This is important. So, but I don't want to pretend to have all the answers because we simply don't. And, but we want to be thoughtful about how we can support our team and we can support our patients and we can support the community. And to do so, we have to have the thoughtful and sometimes, like you said, uncomfortable conversation about how to move forward in a meaningful way. So right now, one of the focus of Kansas City Hospice is to have a diversity of membership on our board of directors. And we've been talking about that for several months. And also to our staff, which reflects the patient population that we serve. And speaking of our patient population, we did conduct an internal study last year related to diverse populations within communities that we serve and how they relate to our patient population, and found that there is work to be done related to outreach to the Black community and members and educating families about the benefits of hospice care. And finally, at our Solace House, which is Center for Grief and Healing, our teams work with communities of color. This includes Black leaders throughout the community who are working to promote racial justice, safety, and peace. The majority of families that we serve at Solace House have experienced a sudden death, and most of the time that includes suicide or homicide or a sudden illness or accident. Unfortunately, the Black community is disproportionately affected by this, so we have to be available to support them. Our grief support services at Solace House helps families address their grief in a way that honors their own traditions and their family beliefs. So that's kind of how we're doing it right now.
All right. Excellent, David. Thank you so much for being here today. David Wiley, President and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And David, thanks for being here. And for our listeners, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about the services offered on this program and how we can help you and your family, call us on our toll-free number anytime. That's 1-800-331-6445. 1-800-331-6445. And don't forget, if you ever miss an episode of Senior Care Live, maybe you want to share the program with someone else, or you know, maybe you just want to go back and listen again, no worries at all. Just go to seniorcarelive.com, click on the podcast tab, and that's where you'll find all of the previously aired episodes. They're listed in chronological order, and just feel free to choose the one that you want to hear. click the play button again. Give it a few seconds to connect, and you can listen to the podcast literally anytime, 24 hours a day. All right, so let's move on and talk about the really important subject related to senior care. How are you going to pay for this stuff? it's just really, really expensive. The costs are really high. There are several different ways to pay for senior care. And when I'm working with a client or family with senior care consulting, we develop what I call a care profile, which is essentially a geriatric care assessment. We define the level of care, the type of care, payment method, location, personal preferences, and needs. So that payment method, we stay there for a while. We really unpack that. And we talk about all the different ways that you can pay for senior care. So we're going to touch on a couple of the big ones here today. I haven't talked about these things for a while, so I just felt like I really wanted to review these things today. So if you hear the term private pay, it just means exactly what it sounds like. You're paying with cash. You're using your own resources to pay for assisted living or long-term care or memory care or continuing care, retirement communities. So you're writing a check every month and you're paying for your own care. So that one's really easy and straightforward. But when we talk about Medicare, well, that is different.
And now, myth versus fact.
All right. So we have the myth, and it's a myth. I do these myth versus fact segments when I want to kind of correct something that is broadly misunderstood out in the marketplace, and this is one of them. The myth is that Medicare will pay for your long-term stay in long-term care, also known as a nursing home. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, and they think that. But that's incorrect. That is a myth. And the fact is that just Medicare does not pay for long-term care. It will pay. Now, this is the confusing part, and I think this contributes to it. Medicare will pay for skilled nursing and rehab that is offered at a nursing home. That's the confusing part of it. But it will not pay for long-term care, and that's a fact.
For more information about the facts, stay tuned to this program or contact Senior Care Consulting at 913-945-2800 or visit seniorcareconsulting.com.
All right, so many people are depending on Medicare to pay for their long-term care, as I mentioned before, and they're shocked. I mean, I've had so many people over all the years, hey, Steve, we got the cost covered and we're feeling really good. We have the best Medicare plans that money can buy. And while that's great, we need to talk about Medicare and what it does pay for. It does not pay for long-term care, your long-term stay in a long-term care community, again, also known as a nursing home. But it will pay for skilled nursing and rehab services in a nursing home, but there are some catches, and that's why this is pretty confusing. So you automatically qualify for skilled nursing and rehab if, right, so here's the big one. You have a hospital stay, so you're hospitalized for some reason, and you are there for 3 midnights. That's it. You're there overnight for a minimum of 3 nights. Boom. That's an automatic qualifier. But there's also another really important fact here, and it just comes down to two different words. You must be in the hospital as an inpatient. So if you're not sure, well, what do you mean, Steve? You need to ask. If you or your loved one, if you're in the hospital right now, I would ask the really super important question, am I here as an inpatient? That means that you're in the hospital, you're being treated for something, or am I here under observation? The key word is observation. If you're there under observation, they're just observing you. They're watching you look for signs of improvement or decline or whatever they're watching you for, but you're not an inpatient being treated for something. And that's the key. So, but if you are there inpatient in a hospital for a minimum of 3 midnights, then this is an automatic qualifier, and it automatically qualifies you for a stay in a nursing home receiving skilled nursing and rehab services. So the stay can be for up to 100 days. However, and that's also misleading. Oh, okay, great. Well, then mom's going to be in the hospital for 100 days. That gives us plenty of time to figure out our next step. And no, that's not what that means. That is a maximum of 100 days, but most people don't receive anything close to 100 days of skilled nursing and rehab. I would say the average in our area is 2 to 4 weeks. 2, 3, 4 weeks. That's pretty normal. You could stay a lot longer than that. In some cases, I think the most common one that I've seen, if someone has unfortunately had a stroke and this is a very slow recovery time and you have these very small improvements over a long period of time, in that case, I've seen a lot of folks recovering from a stroke. As long as they're progressing and making improvements, they can be there a lot longer than 2 to 4 weeks and they may get their 100 days. Okay. So here's what determines the length of stay. Medicare requires the nursing home to discharge you from skilled nursing and rehab services that they're paying for if you reach your stated goals. So if the stated goal is walks unassisted for 50 steps or whatever your stated goals, if you reach the goals, boom, then you get to graduate. You get to get out of there and discontinue that skilled nursing and rehab stay. If you return to your original capabilities. So you were operating at a certain level, you fell, maybe you fractured your hip, you go to the hospital, there's surgery, you go to skilled nursing and rehab, you're there for 2, 3, 4 weeks, and now you're kind of back to your old self. You could do everything you could do prior to your accident or your fall. Boom, you're discharged. There's another one that's really common. It's called plateauing. So you're improving, and then all of a sudden you kind of plateau, and that seems to be about as far back as you're going to bounce, and that's your new normal. Maybe you could walk anywhere you wanted to prior to your accident. After your accident, maybe you can only walk 30 steps or 50 steps unassisted, or maybe now you're walking with an assistive device such as a cane or a walker, and that's your new normal. And you've plateaued, that's as far back as you're coming, that requires a discharge. And then if you can no longer participate in the therapy, maybe it's too difficult, maybe you're too weak, or maybe you've just made the decision, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not going to participate in this, which is your right to do so, then they would have to discharge you. And obviously the last thing that could cause a discharge if you actually use your 100 days. So Medicare pays... And then this is where it starts to get a little more complicated. Medicare will pay 100% of your cost for a maximum up to 20 days, right? So Medicare is going to pay for 100% up to 20 days. Then days 21 through 100, however many days you use, there is a copay. Now, it's kind of creeping up a little bit. Last year, it was $170.50 a day. This year, it's $176 per day. And you're like, wow, that's kind of expensive. But guess what? If you have a Medicare supplement plan, like I've talked about on this program many times, usually that supplement plan is going to pick up that copay of $176 a day, right? So it just... this is why so many people are so surprised to learn that, what do you mean? Medicare is not going to pay for my long-term stay in long-term care, again, also known as a nursing home. So it just doesn't pay for that. Medicare also pays for a lot of other things that, I didn't really cover today. It pays for home health care, where skilled nurses, rehab services such, for physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, they can all come to your home and help you under your home health care benefit. It also pays for hospice services and a lot of other things. A lot of people are also surprised that Medicare will not pay for their hourly in-home care. See, Medicare certified home health agencies come out on a per visit basis, maybe 1, 2, 3 visits a week for about 30 minutes to maybe an hour. They're not there on an hourly basis. Well, Medicare will pay for that, right? No, they do not pay for your ongoing hourly in-home assistance, and they will not pay for that either. And they also not pay for your long-term stay in a nursing home. So don't shoot the messenger, right? Don't be upset with me. I'm just telling you the facts here. And so hopefully that helps to make a lot of sense. And in the next segment, I'm going to talk about long-term care. That is an insurance coverage that does pay for long-term care. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information about the services offered on this program and how we can help you and your family, call us on our toll-free number anytime. It's 1-800-331-6445. 1-800-331-6445. All right, so back to the topic of how to pay for the high cost of senior care. We talked about Medicare, and that's really confusing. It's a wonderful benefit, but it's very, very specific, as I just outlined, and it does not pay for your long-term stay, long-term care community, or your long-term stay anywhere, at home with home care, in assisted living. It does not pay for those things. But guess what does pay for those things? It's a very specific type of insurance policy called long-term care insurance. I cannot say how many times I'm working with a new family with senior care consulting, and I've when we're talking about that financial part of that care profile, I always ask, do you have long-term care insurance? Most of the time, they'll say, no. And we had the chance to do it. I'm kicking myself now. I really wish we would have signed up for that. And so people are just have major regrets for not signing up for long-term care insurance. So I like to talk about this. It's a big deal. And I just frankly think it's not an option anymore. I think all of us need to have long-term care insurance. It's a special type of insurance that very specifically pays for long-term care. And that would include home care services on an hourly basis in your home, that non-medical in-home assistance. It will pay for your stay in the assisted living level of care. It will pay for adult daycare services, and it will also pay for your long-term stay at a nursing home. Okay, so not all policies will pay for these things, all of these things. So let me kind of separate that out very quickly. There's just not a lot of time to jump into this. Another day, I'll have a long-term care insurance expert on here. We'll dive deep into this thing. But the bottom line is, an older policy is a lot more limited than a newer policy. A lot of old policies are just pay for the nursing home stay only. Newer policies will pay for a lot of these other types of long-term care, home care, assisted living, adult daycare, and the nursing home. So here's the bottom line. Also, you can't just go out and buy one of these things. Okay, you can't do it. You have to qualify with your good health. And so, if you have any substantial pre-existing health conditions, okay, that could be a problem. But if you qualify to purchase long-term care insurance, Then these are my recommendations. These are just my personal recommendations. You may have different thoughts. You may come up with a different set of parameters with your long-term care insurance expert, but I'd recommend a 90-day elimination period. What that is, it's basically a deductible. So you pay the first 90 days, and then on the 91st day, the policy kicks in to pay what it's going to pay. You could have a shorter elimination period, but that means that your premiums are going to be a little higher. So just understand there's a kind of a push and a pull with all of these factors. And then a daily benefit amount, a minimum daily benefit amount of at least $200 a day. And I'm going to be recommending from this point forward, you really need $250 a day. That's going to pay $7,500 a month. And that's going to pay for the majority of cost at a long-term care community. The higher the benefit, the higher your premium is going to be. So again, there's the push-pull. Now, there's also kind of an asterisk to that thought. If you have resources where you can pay $100 a day towards your care, then your long-term care insurance policy to add to that should have a daily benefit of $100 to ideally $150 along with what you can pay, and then you're going to be covered. So you may self-fund some of those costs. If you can't self-fund, then the insurance policy needs to pay that full $200 minimum, $250 preferred. Okay, I think it is an absolute must. I don't think this one's negotiable. You have to have the inflation rider. And typically, that will increase your coverage by 5% per year. And that way, you're going to keep up with the ever-rising cost of long-term care. All this stuff goes up 3 to 5% pretty much every year like clockwork. So 20 years down the road, you don't want your coverage to erode and only pay, you know, 50% of your coverage 20 years from now. You want to keep up with that. And that inflation rider is critical. And then I would recommend a five-year term. So all of the statistics from pretty much any study that you might want to look at or read will say that the average length of stay in assisted living is 2.5 years. The average length of stay at long-term care, the nursing home level, is 2.5 years. A lot of people have both of those stays. So there's your five-year term, and that's just playing the statistics. And then the policy must be a state partnership plan. And what that means is that the state will match your long-term care insurance benefit dollar for dollar. So if your policy paid out $100,000 and then later on you need to qualify for Medicaid and be placed in a nursing home, your spend down is not spending your liquid assets down to $4,000 or $2,000, as in the case in Missouri and Kansas. Your spend down is down to $100,000, the amount that your insurance policy paid out, and therefore you've preserved some assets for your family. So that's a really good thing. Talk to a long-term care insurance broker that recommends multiple companies and have them walk you through that to figure out the plan that works best for you. All right. And then as we conclude today's program, I just want to thank my friend David Wiley for coming onto the program and really just addressing, again, a tough issue, a sensitive issue. And I just want to thank David for his time and his thoughts on that. And I just want to say, I usually don't wade into this kind of stuff, but I'm going to just quote George Floyd's brother, Terrence, and he recently addressed a large crowd, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, listen, let's switch it up. Let's switch it up. He says, let's do this peacefully, please. He was imploring peace. He was asking for peace. He said, my brother moved here, Minneapolis. He moved to Minneapolis from Houston, and I used to talk to him on the phone, and he loved it here. He loved living here. I understand you're upset, but you're not half as upset as I am. And if I'm not over here blowing things up and I'm not over here messing up my community, then why would you? The violence is not going to bring my brother back. Please stop the violence. And I agree with that. And I agree with Terrence Floyd and his statement there. So right now we all have a chance to make a difference. And frankly, I'm not sure exactly how you get rid of racism or fix police departments. There are a lot of other people could probably have better ideas than I do, although I do have some, but this is what I do know. And this is what I have control over. We can all make a difference in our own families by being the best person that we can be. We can all make a difference in our churches, in our workplace. We can all make a difference in our own communities, in our own little corner of the world. We can do this by being the very best version of ourselves that we can be. We can treat other people with respect. We can lead by example. We can show compassion. We can show love. And we can just all try to be a better person individually. And that's how we can lead, and that's how we can make our own parts of the world a better place to live. And if we all do that, then collectively, guess what we've done? We've made the world a better place to live. And that's what it's all about. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. I'll see you next week, right here on Senior Care Live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.